I got a long preaching to do. Open your Bibles. Kidding. Don't get up and walk out yet. Hebrews chapter number 12. Also want you to go to Exodus chapter number 19 and put your finger in Romans chapter 2. If you don't have three fingers, borrow one from your neighbor. Chapter 19. We're going to begin reading in Exodus. That's going to be the first place we go to. There are a couple other places I want to go, but I want you to listen up, everybody who's here. There is something missing in the gospel message today. People are intentionally leaving this part out. And therefore, people are not being saved. There's a part of the gospel that's got to bring you to repentance. If you never come to repentance, you can't be saved. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Paul wrote over in the book of Acts chapter 17, there was a time when at man's ignorance, God winked at. But now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repentance unto God and faith in Christ Jesus. That's how we are saved. I'm afraid the message today in the gospel going out is a strange gospel. They want to go to one side of the coin. God's love, God's this, God's that, you're okay, you're fine, God loves you. But they leave the other side of the coin out. And I want you to see a truth that the devil tries to hide. The formation of these Ten Commandments, we're going to see in just a moment, was given to Israel at Mount Sinai. It was given for a purpose. Now get this a minute. When God made man, he wrote his laws in their hearts. Adam, when he was made in likeness and image of God, had the law of God in his heart and conscience. Through his fall, he began to harden himself toward the voice of God in his own conscience. In Exodus chapter 19, when we read in chapter 20, God is going to renew the laws in the ears of Israel. When he quotes these, when he speaks these ten, he allows every Israelite to hear him speak. There's 366 laws given through the book of Exodus. But after these 10, God spoke to Moses and told him to tell them. Only these 10 Israel was to hear. And let me just say this. I said it in Sunday school, but I say it because of a lot of confusion. This is not to the church. It's to Israel. It's the covenant between God and Israel, the Sabbath day. They meet on the Sabbath because it's the seventh day of the week, and God commanded them to be a unique, peculiar people. In Exodus chapter 24, he said he's going to make a covenant with them. That's part of their ceremonial law. All through the book of Exodus, after these chapters we read, God goes down and tells them how they must worship him through the tabernacle and through all the articles of furniture and all those things that was given them. When Jesus resurrected, Jesus came this, he began a church. The Bible tells us clearly that we are to meet now, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, we are to meet now on the first day of the week. On the first day of the week, we are to come together, and we are to bring, as God has prospered us, tithes and offerings in the church. The Sabbath was to Israel. just like some other laws was. Somebody said, well, I circumcised my son because God commanded them to be circumcised. No, he didn't. He commanded Israelites' children be circumcised, not yours. Now, you can do it for health reasons, but you don't do it because of God's command. That was a sign between God and Israel, not you and God. Not only that, how many of you have ever grown a garden? When you grow a garden, did you put anything besides one type of seed in there? Israel couldn't do that. They couldn't wear two types of garments. You couldn't wear wool and linen at the same time. You had to have fringes upon your coat. All that was signs between God and Israel. They couldn't plow with an ox and a mule at the same time. They could not be unequally yoked. They were a unique, peculiar people. And all those things would say, you are set aside to be something important. Now, in chapter 19, follow with me. I got a little bit of reading, dude. I won't go make it quick, but stay with me. In verse 1, in the third month when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came down to into the wilderness of Sinai. Now, Sinai was a mountain, and around it was a bunch of barren trees and wilderness. For they were departed from Rephidim and would come down to the desert of Sinai. Now, remember, it's a desert around there, just old barren stuff. And they pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the Mount Sinai, where the law was going to be given. Skip down to verse 7. And Moses came and called the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come to thee in a thick cloud. Now notice he come in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Now, and in verse 10, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. Now, notice that third day, that's always important. God has it for a purpose. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about. Now, notice they had to build a bound. They had to put a circle around the mount. And he said, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount, nor touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. In other words, there was a line drawn around the Mount Sinai, and if any of them walked across that line, they died. Not only them, even beasts. Look in verse number 13. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. It shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. Now turn on over, if you would, verse 17. Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at neither part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a what? Smoke. Because the Lord descended upon it in what? Fire. And the smoke, and by the way, Deuteronomy 4:24 says, God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. He said, and smoke thereon ascended as a smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Now picture this in your mind. Here was this mountain, Mount Sinai. Lord come down to visit with Israel. They were going to hear what he said to Moses when he gave them the Ten Commandments. And all they could see is darkness, a big cloud, fire. And when he come down, the mount was shaking. And there was a circle and they couldn't gather in it. Look on in verse 19. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Notice verse 20, chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven, above, or that is in earth, beneath, or that is in the water, underneath, under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not make, and thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. And the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested the seventh. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, that thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor manservant, nor maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet, the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they did what? They removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we what? And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. The people stood afar off, and Moses drew near into the thick darkness where God was. Now turn on over, if you would, to Hebrews. Keep your finger in Romans and stay in Hebrews. We're going to be coming back to that. But notice, if you would, in Hebrews chapter number 12. And let's begin reading in verse number 18. Again, this morning we compared Mount Zion on the earth to Mount Zion in heaven, what the writer of Hebrews is doing. But this morning, I don't want to get in that. I want to show you another truth. Notice you would in verse number 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, in other words, and that burn with fire into blackness and darkness and tempest. Tempest means the thunders and lightning and all those things that was taking place. He's talking about what happened that day when God met with them. Now, notice if you would, the Bible says, in verse number 19, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated. The word entreated means to be begged. And they begged that the word should not be what? Spoken to them anymore. In other words, they didn't want to hear the word of God no more. They didn't want him to speak to them directly. Look in verse 20. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible, now this is part that is not recorded in Exodus, and so terrible was the sight that Moses said, what? I exceedingly fear and quake. Even Moses himself was scared to death when he saw God. This morning, listen to me just a minute, please. I want everybody to pay attention. This is an important message, and this is one that most people are missing today. And you better get a hold of this. These commandments was given because God has wrote them in our heart. Romans chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 says every man has these wrote in his heart. Man has tried every way in the world to get where he doesn't hear God speak. He works and he tries to stay so busy that his conscience does not remind him. Somebody turn to Romans chapter 2 real quickly in verse 14 and 15. In Romans chapter 2, notice what Paul said in verse number 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the what? Law, do by nature the things contained in the law, These having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written where? Their conscience also bearing what? And their thoughts the means why what? Accusing or else excusing one another. In other words, the Bible says God from Adam put these in everybody. You got them. You may choose not to listen to them. You may try to flee from them. You may try to ignore them. But even the savages in jungles, when people find them uncivilized, they know certain rights from wrongs because they're written in their conscience. They're written in their heart. God renewed after giving them to Adam and sin come into the world, and sin dulled the conscience, and even many people seared their conscience where they didn't want to hear the conscience anymore. God put them on stone, and he put his finger down and he wrote them in a stone, front and back of the stone. And therefore, everybody here has had them in their heart. Now get this a moment, and I want you to see this. So here, what the law did was this. The law was a voice of God. Now let me say this again. I told Sunday school class, and I want you to get it. In the book of Exodus, there's 366 laws. God told Moses to tell the children of Israel, do this. When they come, this is how they worship. When they do this, this is what the priest wears. This is how you build this. He went through the whole shebang of everything with Israel. But when he said these Ten Commandments, everybody around the mount heard him, and his voice got louder and louder like a trumpet, and heard him, and they started begging Moses, tell him to shut up. We don't want to hear him. Let us hear you. We don't want to hear him speak no more. When he only spoke these ten. Now you got to get the picture of this. I want you to get the picture of this. Notice that the Bible says here, if you look back in verse 18 of chapter 12 of Hebrews, he says, we come with mount might be touched and that burned with fire and to blackness and darkness and tempest. What did all those things, how many of you, when you get in the middle of a bunch of thunder and lightning, it scares you? If there was thunders and lightnings all around and lightning flashing all around you, would you be scared? Picture this Mount Sinai. All Israel's gathered around it. There's a circle drawn. They can't get any closer than that circle. They can't let their cows, they can't let their bulls, they can't let their horses, they can't let their dogs. Anything cross that line, they die. God's going to come down. And so he comes down and all they can see is fire, this big mountain of fire, because God's a consuming fire. They see blackness. They see darkness. They see clouds. They see thunders and lightnings. And they hear everything shaking. And the whole earth is shaking. And they're scared to death. And even Moses, the Bible says, was scared. And Moses had already faced Pharaoh. He'd already faced Pharaoh's army coming in the Red Sea. He'd already met God in the burning bush. But yet at this side of God, and you know what? God was showing them Jehovah. Now listen to me a minute. God was showing them Jehovah God. God's not some man upstairs. Everybody who's seen God quake and scared. He was a holy God, and all those things that was happening there on Mount Sinai was showing them a holy, righteous God that was going to judge the whole earth, and they saw themselves, and the more commandments that he said, this is what you got to do to have favor with me, they got scared to death because they kept seeing themselves a greater sinner, and all they saw was that they were a sinner, he was a holy God, and there was no way they could come in there. If they come into the presence of God's law without some help, they died. I mentioned this morning, remember the guy who stuck his hand up when David sent for the Ark of the Covenant and the ox stumbled and he tried to keep it from falling? He put his hand up there and he was struck dead. Remember that? You know what? He come into the presence of God's law without blood. And you can't do that without the blood sacrifice. And so here, the people of Israel came and the law was given. Now, notice this. that God didn't give them the law over in Egypt when they were all gathered together. Notice he didn't wait till they were in Canaan to get into to hear the law. Now get this is important. He took them out to the desert where it was barren. There was no trees like Adam had to hide behind. And even Adam, when God come searching and he had sin, "Wherefore art thou?" And he steps out behind a tree and he's got a fig leaf, and even his fig leaves doesn't hide him. He is as if he's naked before God. And so what happened was this. God took Israel to a place where there was nothing that they could hide behind. When they heard the Ten Commandments, they had to hear and see an almighty God that could strike them dead. That there's no way they could approach. Holy, just. And here they were, sinners. And what he was saying was cutting them to the quick, and they didn't want to hear it no more. The words of God as it was speaking. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God is sharper than what? The word of God is so powerful. The Holy Ghost takes the word and he cuts you open. And so when they spoke, they begged God not to hear anymore. Now this was a law that was given. Now look in your Bibles again, if you would, to the book of Romans. Keep your finger in Hebrews. I'm coming back. But notice if you would in the book of Hebrews. Romans. And notice if you would in chapter number 7. Paul said, "Was then that which is good made death unto me?" Or let's go back up a little bit higher. In verse number 7, "What shall we say then? Is law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but how? By the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said what? Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by commandment, wrought in me all manner of conspicuous." Now, what does that mean there? What that means is that it brought all kinds of evil desires. And it brought out, for without the law, sin was what? Without the law, sin was what? Now, keep your finger there and flip back a minute. Romans chapter 3 a minute. In chapter 3, let me get over there a second. I know I'm going, keep your finger there, I'm coming back to Romans. Those of you would in verse 20, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be what? Justified in his sight, for by the law is what?" Okay, now go back if you would to chapter 7. Paul said, "For I was alive without what?" Chapter 7, verse 9. I was alive without what? Okay. Paul said, "Look, I was going happy-go-lucky. I was doing what I wanted to do. I was killing Jews or Christians. I was doing what I need to do." He said, "I was alive." And then all of a sudden, here come the law. And when the law came, look what happened. Verse number, "When the law comes, knowledge of sin comes." That's what he's saying up there. He said, "I didn't know it was wrong to lust till he said, thou shalt not covet." Look, if you would, in verse number 9. "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came," what? "Sin revived, and I did what?" Please listen. I'm going to help you, but I want you to get this. So the moment that he heard the law, was he heard the word of the Lord speaking the law, to him, it made him a sinner. The knowledge of his sin came forward. Now, he says, "And I died." He became dead before God. dead in trespass. Look in verse 10. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto what? In other words, he said, keep the law and you'll live. He said, the commandment that he said that I keep the law, I've died. You know, the devil has taken the Ten Commandments out of courthouse, schoolhouses, and everywhere else. I remember even when, years ago, when Pulaski County had to take them out of all their schoolrooms. I don't know if you were teaching then or not. But I remember at the auction, Brother Broughton went there for his school, and some guy from the state come, and all the Ten Commandments, they made them turn them over to the face so nobody could read them so they wouldn't be offended. People no longer want to hear the Ten Commandments, the law. Listen to me a minute. And Paul said, there was a time when I was alive, I kind of squashed the law in my conscience, and then all of a sudden here come the law. And it made me dead instead of made me alive. The rich young ruler left Jesus dead that day instead of alive. With the law came the knowledge of his sin. He loved his money more than he loved God. Look on, 10. And the commandment of which ordained the life I found to be undead. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and it what? Slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, the commandment is holy and just and good. So therefore, he said, you know, I have no problem with that. Then look in chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation those which are Christ Jesus, who walk not after flesh, but after spirit. The law of the spirit of the life in Christ Jesus had made me free from what? The law of sin and death. Now turn back over one more place, and then we'll go back to Hebrews and finish up. Look, if you would, in Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, look, if you would, in verse number 21. The Bible says, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under what? Sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that what? But before faith came, we were kept under the what? Shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our what? Schoolmaster, to bring us where? Unto Christ, that we might be what? Justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a what? For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Turn back, if you would, to Hebrews one more time. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to close here in a few minutes, but I want to tie this all together in a minute. I want you to listen, because I cannot tell you how important this is. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 17, that men flees to a refuge of lies. In other words, they go and they hide themselves from God, believing something that's not true. And they are therefore trying to hide themselves from hearing God. Had Israel not been in the desert that day when the law was given, they would have ran and found something to hide behind to try to get away from God. They had nowhere to go. The voice of God got louder and louder and louder, and they had nowhere to go, and they stood there condemned, sinners, before a holy God. No hope. All they could think about was dying in presence of this holy God. And so what happened was this. The Bible says that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Now get this a minute. And I want you to catch this, because this is very important. Everybody listen. If you come down the aisle making little bubblegum confession, no change, no conviction. I've had some people say, well, I came because so-and-so came. Well, I came this, I come this, I come that. What the Holy Spirit God does is this. Before you ever find peace in the love of God, please listen. The Holy Spirit of God takes His word, His commandments. And if this has never happened to you, you're missing the key ingredient. And the Holy Spirit of God takes His word out here, and it takes it. And boy, when you heard, I don't know when you were saved, Terry, but look here. You remember when you got saved? I bet before you fell in love with God, I bet you were afraid of God. I bet there was fear came all over you. You realized that God was a consuming fire. Everything you saw was what God was to Israel on that mount. The only problem with Israel was they didn't yet have Christ. They didn't understand all that was to bring them to Christ, to understand that there was no way that they could approach God that way. And they knew that day, boy, that they did not want to come into the presence of God. They did not want to come because they died. There's no way that they could come, a holy God and a sinner, and come together. There's no way. And they didn't understand that Christ was going to be the thing, a key to allow us to do that. But now listen to me just a minute. This is a part of the gospel that's being left out, folks. People are not scared. They've not been brought into the presence of a holy, just God. They've not seen their own sin in their own life. They've not quaked, realizing that if they died, they went to hell. They didn't realize just how fearful it was to come into the presence and in the hands of the holy God. He's a consuming fire. And to die, boy, I tell you this, before I got saved, God began to keep me from sleeping at night. But I thought, if I died, I'm going to hell. I was scared to death. And I was afraid. And here I was. I was guilty. I didn't have to have nobody tell me. When the Holy Spirit of God took the Bible and the Word of God preached, He come to me, Brother Junior, and He cut me open. And you know what? I was just like Israel. I don't want to hear no more. It makes me feel guilty. Please listen. Churches that can't fit enough people in their pews today and building stadiums and arenas are preaching a gospel that's never bringing people to repentance. They're only telling them good things. They're not showing them the fearfulness of God. They're painting a God that is not realistic. Because before you ever get saved, you have to be brought to the point where you see yourself a sinner. And if you've never seen yourself a sinner, you're not saved. And the reason why you see yourself a sinner is because you heard the word of God speak to you. When God spoke to Israel, everybody in that place heard the words of those commandments. Everybody there was guilty. If the word of God's never come out and cut you and made you guilty, you're not saved. And when you were guilty, what you did was you understood that the Word of God just pointed out to you your sin and the knowledge of sin, that you were a sinner. Somebody said, what does it mean to be brought to the age of accountability? That means when these kids get old enough and reasonable enough and intelligent enough that they're brought to the point where they realize they're a sinner by the Holy Ghost of God, taking the Word of God, cutting them and letting them know it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of presence of God without Christ. And when they do that, that's why I tell parents, I don't want to come back there and get your child by the hand and bring them down, because I could do that to every child here. I could have every child here to say, repeat after me this prayer, and they'd repeat after me. I could tell every child here, do you believe Jesus was the Son of God? They'd say, yes, probably. If I say, well, you believe it, I don't, yes. But the point is, until the Holy Ghost of God cuts them with the Word of God, lets them see the real, true, holy, just God, and He begins to draw them to come unto Jesus through the cross of Calvary, until they come, they'll not be saved. But the cutting of the Holy Ghost by the Word of God is what brings about repentance. Because what happened is this. Dolores, when you got saved, what you had to do was this. When you heard the word of God and God made you see yourself a sinner, then what you had to do was turn from yourself and turn to God. And the only remedy you had was Jesus. Amen. And what he did upon the cross of Calvary. Folks, today we're trying to get people saved without letting them ever see the true, living, just, holy God. The law is still just as real as it ever was. The law will kill you. It will make you dead. Because the first thing that happened when you see the law, you can't say, I'm okay. You say, I'm guilty. Now that you're guilty, what are you going to do? Now, please listen to this. Now, close. Will you hear me just a minute? The danger today is this. Nobody wants to get in the desert alone with God. Because when they hear his word, there's no place to run. People fill their life full of amusement, all kinds of things to drown out the voice of God. They never open the Bible. Many people never come to church. Or they don't come to a church where the truth is being preached. Because they don't want to hear it. And they're trying to flee from the message of God. And they're trying to sear their conscience and hide their conscience and not hear what their own conscience is telling them. But my friend, you'll stand before that righteous judge one of these days and you'll have no standing. He'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. The only standing we have is through Christ Jesus. And the only reason why we came to Christ is our desperation of our sins before a holy, just God. We repented to God and we had faith in Christ Jesus, and that saved our soul. That's what the law was all about. And the law was to make us fearful of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and to bring us to Christ. Amen. Have you ever come to Christ? Has your conscience ever been awakened to your sinful condition? Let's stand this morning. Page 293. I wish people would understand. You can't change the gospel. You can't dilute it. You can't drown it out. Jesus came to save sinners. And until you're made a sinner, and we're trying our best to get people to heaven without ever getting them lost. But until you get lost, you can't be saved. You have no reason to turn from yourself and turn to God in desperation other than recognize you can't save yourself. Those people that day around Sinai knew they could not help themselves. They were dead in the presence of God. Oh, dear friend, how about you this morning? God deal in your heart, you need to come as we sing, Brother Porter.